Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek protection with God from Shaitan's rejected enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM radio listening audience, it is my pleasure to offer it to you, the Muslim greeting of peace tonight, knowing that that's a special kind of peace, the peace that only God can give. I greet you. Assalamu alaikum. And welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, where Mark Shaheed and Quran Shakir examine sound approaches to making marriage work, beginning with finding a suitable mate. The Learning Lab shares lessons that, inshallah, God willing, lead to a beautiful and memorable wedding day and a fulfilling marriage life, affection, peace, and joy. I am Quran Shakir, and it is my pleasure to serve as today's engineer, co-producer, and co-host. While we are making our introductions and our opening announcements, we ask you to please share the joy of this program by letting your family and friends know that you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. To do that is so easy. All that you need to do is send a text or make a post. Invite them to join you at 714-816-4673. And now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, it is my pleasure to introduce and to welcome to our program my co-host, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Quran Shakir, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worship except for one, Allah, alone. And he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and generous messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed, the host, facilitator, and producer, along with Quran Shakir, of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Thursday night here on IWDM Radio. And Quran and I would like to welcome those who may be tuned in for the first time here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. We do invite you to ask questions, to make comments on any of the information, education that we'll be disseminating tonight, or maybe say previous learning labs pertaining to this, I think, very deserving topic in terms of correct communications to ensure that we have a healthy, harmonious relationship between husband and wife, even in the courtship phase, as far as that go. We ask that you do ask questions, and you can do that by pressing 1. And we are also very confident that there are quite a few that are taking in this learning lab by way of the Internet. And so, as Quran has already said, that you do have to call in to the studio if you want to be a participant. And we do encourage you to call in to ask questions or make comments or even to let us know that what you're hearing tonight is resonating with you. And we'll have a period where I will do my little mini survey, as we are accustomed to getting each and every Thursday night, to see if what is being said is resonating with you. So to be able to do that, you have to dial into the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. So as Karan said, this is an opportunity to let your family members know, let your friends know, let your associates know, your neighbors know, community members know that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is in session. And it's going to, inshallah, be a great learning lab tonight. We do ask that you bring an open mind, open heart to this learning lab. And all you need for tools is a pencil or an ink pen and a notebook. God willing, that there will be some noteworthy things that will be said that hopefully you want to jot down and maybe ask a question, or maybe you want to add something to what Karan and myself say tonight in the topic of the five universal love languages. I think you're going to hear some things tonight you never heard before. So we want you to know that this learning lab, like the Sister Learning Lab, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, have the same foundation, the same sources we use, which is Al-Quran, which is final revelation for all of humanity, and also the life example and demonstration of the Quran by Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, and the Tafsir, the clear explanation by scholarly teacher and leader Imam Warith Uddin Muhammad. That is the foundation for this learning lab. And as I said, the last 2 weeks, we have embarked on a mini-series on correct communication that will enable us to have a healthy, harmonious relationship between husband and wife. And I think one of the things that Grant said last week, very noteworthy in her research, that bad communication, miscommunication, non-communication, number one cause of divorce. So we'll spend a little time on this, because this is crucial for having the type of relationship that Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wants us to have. And it's been traditional here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab to always have an overview, and I can't think of a person that does a better overview. I have two outstanding partners working with me on these learning labs, and Karan takes great notes, and I would advise you to make sure your pencil is sharpened and your ink pen is writing, because you're going to get some highlights from last week's production here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So once again, I extend the greetings to you, Karan Shakir. It's always good to hear your voice here on Thursday, and I'm looking forward to some of the highlights from last week. Back to you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, and it's always good to hear yours too. And again, we welcome our listening audience to tonight's Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And as an educator, let me just tell you, dear listeners, that there's this term we use in education called scaffold lessons. And in the scaffold lessons, what happens is that one lesson builds upon the other. So this is important for us tonight, that you understand some of the foundational things that we have shared regarding communication. So last week was our second series on communication. And so I want you to, as Brother Mark said, take notes, so that as we're building on this, and some of you got our text that said, go ahead and take the test, the five love languages test, because that's what we're going to talk about tonight. But let us talk about now communication, this foundational concept of communication as we shared it last. The first thing we want you to note is that there are basic components of communication, and those three components would be, one, the speaker. So there has to be someone speaking when you're communicating, and that person has a message that they want to give, and that message needs to be heard. So the second part of communication is that there is a listener, a person listening to the message, and they receive and they interpret what they are getting. And when they interpret it, they decode it based on their own understanding of something or a person. And then there is the third thing, the message itself. And those are the words that are conveyed. Last week, we talked about the fact that when we talk about the words conveyed, in reality, 55% of communication is nonverbal. So it may not always be words that are conveyed. But you have to be listening for what the person is not saying. Listen to their body language. Listen to their facial expression. Listen to the tone of voice that they're using, because only 10% of words are heard when we do speak. And last week, it was really a great joy to get into this subject of communication, because one of the things we noted is that when we look at divorce rate in our country, you know, among those high divorce rates in our country, some of the reasons for divorce, communication is at the top of the list for why people get a divorce. And that is because 70% of the experts say that men cite that they feel like their wife is nagging them and complaining, and that's their top reason because that's her way of communicating, right? And then the women said that they felt like they were not being heard. And so that was a part of their concern when we talk about communication. So we talked about the fact that Allah, the most wonderful and the just and the mighty, shares with us in Surah 3, Ayat 36, no wise is the male like the female. So we looked at this idea that males and females are not alike. Allah also says in Surah 53, Ayat 43, male and female perspective, I'm sorry, in 53:43, he also talks about the fact that males and females are different. And we shared that male and female perspectives or platforms for communicating are different. So we shared the two platforms, looking at how men and women communicate because they don't communicate the same. And we gave some acronyms. So if you're writing, you want to write this down. For males, we said that form of communicating for males, that platform that they use is I-S. So the first I is for independence. They look for not controlled or influenced in how they communicate. So they're looking for being independent in how they communicate as a communicator. They are the second I is for invulnerable, because they want to personify the ability to be able to be unharmed or not hurt. They want to protect themselves from hurt, and they may not display emotions as they communicate, and that's your second I. And then the S is for status. So when they are communicating, they are concerned about how they are viewed. They're concerned about their status in their communication. And so basically what we looked at is that males communicate from a base of competitiveness and just getting and giving information, basically, for them. And for the female, it's a little bit longer, so it's more things. And this made me think about if you look at the Quran and how Allah addresses the male and the female, when he's talking about modesty and how we address one another. And I'm saying this because I do lessons with students, and sometimes I'll say to them, look at what he says to the males. And he gives it's a short ayat that Allah says about how males address modesty. And then when you put it next to what he says to the female, it's a long list of things that Allah says to us. And I think this is interesting because even in communication, this is what we're getting here. So for the female, it is the acronym is I care, care, C-A-I-R-E, I care. And so the first I is interactive. When a woman communicates, she's looking for something interactive so she can engage and interact with you. The C is for care. So she looks for that connection that says, oh, emotionally I am tied to you. I care about what you're saying. There is a affection, a longing, a loving here in this communication. So it's having concern for others as we are communicating as females. And then the A is for affiliation, some kind of association, making some kind of connections. That's that A. They like to feel that there is an affiliation or an association being made here as they are communicating. And then the I is for intimacy, being close and love. And they are open and vulnerable, which is very different from the male. So the woman in communicating is open and vulnerable in her communicating. And then the R is for relatedness, able to relate, able to feel like there's something I feel this ability to relate and connect and communicate and get this and you get me in this communication. And then the E is empathy. And empathy is that they understand and they feel for the person that is speaking. They are able to put themselves in that person's shoes and walk with that person in their feelings and their what they're getting out of this. And, you know, a moment ago we talked about intimacy. And intimacy is a very special word because into me you see. And so you have to be vulnerable in order for someone to be able to see into you. So those are the acronyms that we use for the male and the female. I is and I care, C-A-I-R-E. Then we also talked about syzygy. And syzygy is reconciling contrasexual qualities so there is no disturbance internally. In other words, what it is that you are practicing socialization and being regardful of one another, and you're able to bring those opposite feelings, those opposite attractions and emotions and things that are different, those two differences, the I is, the I care, you're able to bring those together and find them harmony, so to speak, as the I says in 3021, even where Allah talks about this idea that he brings this tranquility in the relationship. This is a part of that syzygy that you get when you're able to bring those two opposites together and form this harmony, this ability to work together. We talked about types of communication problems that can lead to divorce, and that comes also with not understanding what's being communicated, how it's being communicated, and who is communicating it. So sometimes you may feel like there's criticism here of me, and that's one form of communication that you don't want, criticism of someone's personality or how they are. And then there's contempt, and you don't want to feel like someone is always attacking me and making me feel like I've got to fight and defend myself. And then stonewalling is a form of communication that people use also where they refuse to communicate at all. And so we say be careful of those kinds of things. Going back to what Allah tells us in the Quran, that Allah created the human with a basic function to communicate. And he says he has taught him to talk and understand. So we have that ability in us. He says that in Surah 55, Ayah 4. We have the ability to talk and understand. And so we have to exercise that in what we're doing. And Allah also tells us in the Quran that we should not misappropriate knowingly things entrusted to you. So if we are looking at communicating best as Allah has given us, then we don't want to misappropriate the marriage, which is a trust that Allah has given us. That is a trust, and we don't want to misappropriate that knowingly by not using the skills that we are gaining here on this program, but also Allah has given us some innate abilities to communicate, and we want to make sure that we're doing the best we can to meet all of the goals and potential that Allah has put in us, inshallah. And that concludes my summary of last week. Mark, back to you.
Well, it said alhamdulillah. And for those who don't know, that means that all the praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost, always. And I have to commend Karan Shakir. I mean, what an excellent overview as she highlighted many, many things that were said last week. I just want to, before we get into tonight's topic, as I was listening to her, and something came to my mind from last week's production that we need to give to you. As Karan said, we want you to take good notes because you're going to need these notes as next week we're going to be looking at doing some role-playing, that's going to be script, and you'll get the background in terms of the setting and everything. And as Karan and I play particular roles in terms of husband and wife, incorrect communication, then you're going to be the critic. You're going to be the one that's going to have to point out what was said and done wrong. in that communication. Then we're going to do it correctly, and then you're going to have to be the one that's pointing out what was done right in the correct communication. So these notes are very, very important, very, very important. And Karen and I, we're counting on you to utilize those notes when we get to role playing, okay? One of the things that I have said before, but I think it can't be overemphasized, that one of the master keys in communication is to seek to understand before being understood. You need to put that as a note, as a master key. Seek to understand before being understood. This is very, very important in communication. As you remember, in the introductory, we talked about the five styles of listening. And for you to understand someone, you understand, then you need to be patient in terms of listening. You need to diminish the noise or alleviate the noise internally to understand the other person. So seek to understand before being understood. Very, very important. In terms of the acronym, in terms of CARE, C-A-R-E, I often use this in a lot of learning labs and workshops I do. It actually is an acronym in and of itself, and you'll find that women actually employ that. CARE, the acronym that I use, very important that when you care, you show compassion, you show appreciation, and you want to put in parentheses value the person. You show compassion, you show appreciation, and in parentheses value. And R, it stands for respect. You're respecting that person. There's no way you can care for anybody without respecting them. And then the E becomes, it should be evident, or it should be experience. Experience would be the E that we use. Sometimes I use evident. It should be evident. Especially in courtship, it should be evident to you in the courtship that person does care for you, and you should be able to experience it even in courtship, but even more so in the sacred institution of marriage. So I want to make sure that we get that. One other acronym that we use in communication a lot is DIE, D-I-E, like DIE, D-I-E. Always know and understand that in communication there is a desired internal experience. Now, even when you will hear Karan and I do role-playing, this is very, very important, that there's a desired internal experience. Even if the language or communication is bad communication, or even if it's disrespectful communication, understand that there's a desired internal experience. The person may not go about the right way in terms of expressing that, so that that their mate will become consciously aware of what it is that they desire internally to experience. But always know that there's a desired internal experience. There's a lot could be said about that. I don't want to take a lot of time. So if, in fact, that we have any questions in regards to that particular acronym, in terms of communication, there's always a desired internal experience that our mate want or we want. And we have to be able, you understand, that we can only do it if we're employing the highest form of listening, and that's empathic listening. I don't want to give a quiz or anything, but Karan and I do want you to take good notes, and just to go over those notes, and after you understand them, the most important thing is to practically apply them. Practically apply them. You got a good relationship, it may become better. You might impress upon your mate, They say, sweetheart, wow, you know, you're really listening. and you're picking up on things, even the meta message. You know, we'll talk about that another time in terms of meta message and communications. There is overt and there's covert. These are two terms, and maybe that'll be a homework assignment. You know, look up overt and look up covert. And so, and look up meta message. Very, very important in that regard. So tonight, as you receive your text and been informed, that we're going to be looking at the five universal love languages. I'm just going to name them, and then I'm going to give it back to Grand Shakir, and she is going to give us some information, and this is taken from the outstanding publication of Dr. Gary Chapman on the five universal love languages. And those love languages, you want to put this down. The five love languages is words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. Number two, quality time is a love language. Number three, acts of service. Hopefully I'm not going too fast, and if I am, you can always press one, and Karan and myself, we can give to you again. Acts of service. Number four, gift giving. Number four. And the fifth universal love language is physical touch. And we're going to have some additional things to say about this tonight that I think is going to be very beneficial to you. And I'm using universal, five universal, and you'll understand a little bit later why these are universal love languages. So with that being said, Karan, give it back to you, and we can start this learning lab on the five universal love languages, because love is, in fact, a language that should be communicated.
Alhamdulillah, absolutely. And thank you so much for sharing those in case people didn't have them. And if you got our text, I see a lot of you have tuned in tonight because the instruction was to take the test and then come and let us talk about communication and how these love languages are a necessity in our relationships when we understand this. One of the things that really impressed me when I first studied about the five love languages many, many years ago was the way it was explained. I could get it because it's like if you are a person who speaks French and you walk up to a person who speaks Arabic and you're speaking your language to that person, you can do all the body movements and all of that that you want, but it's something in that the person is not going to get because there is a miscommunication because of the differences in the languages. This is the same thing with our love languages. Sometimes we are in relationships and we are doing all, we're speaking the language we know. So if we are a person who ourselves, we love acts of service, and it makes us feel love when someone is doing special things for us. And so we do special things for somebody. And then that other person for whom we're doing this special thing to make them feel love and to feel your love, because you're giving it with all of your love, you get to this point, they'll say, I just don't feel your love. It's like, how could you not feel my love as much service as I give for you? And that's because their language is different. They may feel loved when you actually give them gifts. It's like, you never bring me anything, no gifts or anything, and the gifts don't have to be expensive. You can bring somebody a fig or a weed out of the yard, you know, just a flower growing out of the yard. Just bring that to them and let that person know they love me, they brought me a gift. But if you never do that and you do service for them, you're cleaning and serving them, doing all these things for them, and they still say, I don't feel the love, that's because there's a miscommunication there. And that they're speaking French and you're speaking Arabic to one another. And so you're not connecting in your communication. That's how the love languages work for me. And I really loved hearing that because it helped me to understand how there can be a miscommunication and how people miss the mark with showing their love for one another. So when we start talking about communicating, we have to be able to communicate on a person's level and where they are. Meet somebody where they are with that is not that they should just accept what I give them as this is my way of expressing my love, colossal, the end, that's it. If we really love someone and we want them to feel our love, then we need to speak their language. And so to do that, we have to know what their language is. And that's what we want to talk about tonight as we continue to build on our foundation. And I use this example of Allah telling us in Surah 9, if you want to go look at 108 and 109, in that Allah talks about those who build their foundations on piety. And a part of our piety in building the foundation is just being able to connect with someone because Allah has already said marriage is sacred. And if it's sacred, then we put all of us making that marriage work. We're not just dismissing small things and saying, get over it. We're really, our taqwa, regard for Allah, that piety that we're looking for comes with that regard for that mate that Allah has allowed us to be able to take on and have as a part of that. And so Allah also says to us in Surah 67, conceal not your speech. Do not conceal your speech or publicize it. So it's a balance that we have to find in this. And I'm saying that using that because sometimes when we don't express our love for someone, we're concealing that. And just to get us all in the same book, on the same page, so that we understand the importance of this method of communicating, understanding the five love languages. So it's already been explained to you, these five methods, and these methods to come up with this. And he did it, I think he said after 12 years of counseling couples, he noticed this trend that was going on in these couples. And over again, they were missing communicating with one another based on the lack of the five languages. And that's how he came up with this because he kept seeing this consistency in his research of what's going on with couples. And our goal in the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is that we are, inshallah, building this bedrock of our community, which is marriage. And we believe that it's important for us to have strong marriages. And to do that, we have to have strong communication, mashallah. So that's my foundation to this, my introduction to this, Mark. And okay. I'm going to turn it back over to you, and then I'm going to turn it to our listening audience because I want to hear what happened when you did your test. Was it a new discovery for you? And now do you know what to do with it? So we're going to talk about what you do with the five love languages. So back to you, Mark.
Yes, alhamdulillah, Hadith, praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. Excellent, excellent introduction. And I like Quran that you went to the Quran in terms of a foundation. You know, anytime, and we always got to use the concrete to help us with the abstract, if you will. Very, very important. So when we talk about building something, if you know anything about building, it always starts with a foundation. And just as Quran referenced the Quran in terms of looking at when we are building a relationship, it has to be built and predicated. It says piety, but the Quranic Arabia is taqwa. And our beloved scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Warthuddin Muhammad, he gave the expression of taqwa being God conscious. I've looked at that and said that, and then I turned the word around, conscious of God's word, will, and way. Very important. That's noteworthy. Conscious of God's word, will, and way. And this should be the foundation for the sacred institution of marriage, but it also has to be the framework. So when you're talking about building, you have to have a foundation, but you also have to have the framework, you know, the frame of the house. In terms of after you have foundation, then you have to have the framework for the walls. And the only reason I know this is because I was a professional painter and decorator. That was my career, and I had to work with other craftsmen. So you frame the walls. You have either wood or metal studs that are actually 16 inches apart, and then you put insulation in, and of course your relationship have to have insulation too. The insulation is to protect you from the cold, whether when it's cold outside, the heat when it's hot outside, and you also have to have insulation in your relationship, you know, where it's a protection. And Allah gives that to us in the Quran where he says that your mate is a cover for you and you're a cover for them. That's a protection. And we don't go into that tonight. That would be another topic of another time. But those of you who understand this religion, this way of life, we can easily see how our mates become a cover or a protection for us. And when you're building a good relationship, if it's built on the foundation of being consciously regardful of God's word, that means it's instruction. So we talk about construction. So God's words is instruction for the construction of the life that he wants us to live in terms of the sacred institution of marriage, which is a sacred institution, but also family. And we get that in the Quran. And we consistently refer to Surah Furqan, the 25th surah and the 54th verse. In regards to those two sacred institutions. So, and God's will. So God has a will for everything he has created, including himself, and how it is that we are to communicate. Now, I said universal. He said, well, why do you say universal? I don't think it's mentioned in the book as universal. But as being a student of the Quran, being a student of Imam David Din Muhammad, we're going to look, as we talk about these five universal love languages, and we're going to see, as our Christian brother and sister, oftentimes we hear them say, that God is love, or God is the source of love. We don't have a problem with that, just like we said, assalamu alaikum. And we should know that as-salam is a property of God, that it is one of the 99 known attributes. We said known attributes. There are other attributes that man may not know, but it's one that's known, that he is the source of peace. So Allah is the source of love, and we have that in the Quran too, because Allah said he will put the love and he'll put the mercy between the hearts. So Allah is the source of love. So when we talk about universal, it's only Allah, Al-Khaliq, the creator, that can actually give us the love. Now, I don't know if Dr. Gary Chapman, if he had a Quran. I don't know that. But I do know this, that anything that is worth helping and benefiting the human being and looking at it from a universal perspective, this was derived from natural creation and revelation. And this is very important, so you need to really take note to some of these things that I'm going to say. I'm just going to deal with the first one, because as Quran said, we want to get to you because we want you to be a participant. Let's look at number one, words of affirmation. This is an expression of love. Words of affirmation. And I think that there was some type of survey that was taken, and this was pretty much number one for most men, mm-hmm. words of affirmation. And number two, quality time for women. But let's look at it from the Quran and showing God's love for us. He gave us words of affirmation to affirm who we really are, our true self, who he created us to be. So Allah is showing his love and giving us words of affirmation. The Quran, words of affirmation, affirming. It is true scripture that gives us our true picture. Yeah. So he affirms. He tells us that he created us in the best of mold. He tells us what our role and responsibility is, unlike for any other in terms of creation. I could go on and on, but I'm not going to do that. But I want you to see the relationship, why this is a universal love language, and then an understanding that Allah gives us first words of affirmation, affirming who we are. It makes a distinction from all the rest of creation, and it validates us as, in biblical scripture, seen as the crown of creation, words of affirmation. So we are not to lie to each other. We are not to lie to each other. And we are not to flatter each other. Flattery is a tool of the shaitan. But we are to affirm the good things that we see in each other. And as Christ said, we have to let it be known. Oftentimes, we keep it to ourselves, and I've heard people say, Quran, oh, I ain't going to tell him that. It may cause his head to get too big. I ain't going to tell her that. It'll inflate her ego. You don't have to be concerned about that. You need to be concerned about what it is that you should do in terms of what Imam Muhammad has said to us, that we have to recognize the good that Allah has deposited into others. This helps to bond our relationship where it becomes very, very close, a close, tight-knitted relationship when we can see and recognize the good, and in showing our love and appreciation, we give our mates words of affirmation, not to flatter them, but because it's true. Sometimes people wait too late, and then they lose their mate. And now they want to say all the things that was good about them when they had the time to do that. Now, I'm going to stop with that one, Quran, just to give a little something to show, mm-hmm. you understand, how this parallels with Allah in terms of actually given us words of affirmation. We can actually see that even in creation, because when we look and study creation, we don't see anything like the human being. And there's more in terms of the others, but I think I said enough there. And so, Quran, if you, I know you directed our listening audience to take the test and ignore and to see if they have been able to uncover or discover, first and foremost, your, and this is a very important word, primary love language. There are five.
Mm-hmm.
But your primary love language, you understand, that will really resonate with you. So if you know what that is, you understand, we do ask that you be a participant. Back to you, Quran.
I love that you said that. So those of you who are those who love words of affirmation, I would love to see how many took the test and discover that that's who they are. If you push one, just to show that you are words of affirmation. And while you're doing that, I want to say also about words of affirmation. All of us can benefit from just being those who compliment and share the good and not always looking for the negative in a person, always looking at what they're not doing. And I think I told you, Mark, earlier this week how I was talking to a young lady who, in her relationship, she had been complaining about her husband. And then she gave him a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
And she had these
mm-hmm.
things she wanted
yes.
him to do around mm-hmm. the house. And she said, I don't know what's wrong with him. He's doing all this stuff plus. And I said you complimented him. I said, it sounds like his love language is words of affirmation. And when you made a compliment instead of a complaint, he felt
yes.
love. And he felt like he wanted to do something to show you his love. And so sometimes just bending a kind word, sharing just a kind word instead of the negative. It may come up, you know, in Surah 24, Allah tells us, why do you put the best construction on this? So
that's
I
right.
use that in a lot of things, not just about gossip, because that's what he was talking about when he said it, but when the opportunity comes to speak about somebody, put the best construction on it.
That's
don't
right.
go to what they do wrong. Go to the good of it and look for the blessings that come from just doing that. So that's a very good recommendation for us. And then if someone's love language is words of affirmation, making sure that we're doing that. And that was the other thing I was telling the young lady, is that when someone's love language is words of affirmation, that means that they feel love when you are affirming them.
Yes.
And think about it, when you are defaming them, when you do that, then it also makes them feel unloved.
That's right.
And so you have to be very careful about what you're saying. If a person's love language is words of affirmation, then you should not talk negatively about them. I'm looking for hands to go up now to say, well, what you're supposed to do when you have something you want to say to them, what do you do in that? So no one raised a hand to say that their love language.
Well, you know, I'm raising my hand here. I know you can't see it. And
okay.
Maybe I'll break the ice here. I'm raising my hand. That is my primary love language, which is words of affirmation. Words of affirmation mm-hmm. is my primary love language. I've been in touch with that for quite a few years now. You know, and Karan, you're making an excellent, excellent point. When you give, you choose your words, and you take advantage of the opportunities. If you're not giving words of affirmation, you may be giving words of defamation. You know, you
mm-hmm.
don't want to defame your mate. I'm going to give him an acronym in terms of the word flaw, forever looking at wrong. When you're forever looking for something wrong with a person, you will overlook or look over what is right with a person, what is good with a person. And this is very, very important, because it is in terms of our language that Imam Muhammad has given to us when he was teaching us in regards to Arafat and the base word Arafu, meaning to get to know, to mm-hmm. become acquainted with. But he says it also means to recognize. And he really gave it in a very simplistic but a very powerful way. This ties in with words of affirmation. He says that Allah wants us to recognize the good that he has deposited into others besides yourself. So you always are going to find what it is that you're looking for. So what we're telling you is look for the good. Don't be looking always for the bad. You know, remember that acronym FLAW, forever locating a weakness or forever locating a wrong in the person. This is very important. You understand? You want your mate to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Words of affirmation, it helps them to grow, to want to do more. Just like what Karan just shared with me earlier this week, and she's sharing here with the radio listening audience. So when the language changed and became the primary love language of that man, then he changed.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Imam Muhammad said to us, words make people. Words make people. What type of words are you giving to your mate? Do you want to make them better or bitter? Do you want them to do more or less? These are rhetorical questions. You don't have to answer them, but you have to. But I'm saying it so that you will think about it. Now, all of them are languages, and it's appealing not just to men only. It's appealing to women too. But in this particular study and the questions that are asked, it is to try to uncover and discover your primary love language. Your primary love language. It doesn't mean that you don't have appreciation for words of affirmation, but Karan gave an excellent example. That might not be your primary love language. You probably will only say that when your mate does this, now in your mind, in your heart, this is expressing love to you. You know, if gift-giving is, in fact, your love language, then words of affirmation or maybe even acts of service, that might not ring your bell, so to speak. It's only your primary love language that really, really, really means something to you. And so to know that is first and foremost. So I'm going to ask you at this time, you don't have to say anything, dear listening audience, but if that's, and it may not be their primary, maybe we have more women listening than men. I don't know what the composition of our audience is. But if that's your primary love language, I'm going to ask you to press 1. But if it's not your primary love language, I'm going to ask you to press 1 if, in fact, you see the value, what it is that Quran has said and I've said about words of affirmation. Do you see the value in that being a love language? That's the question. Do you see a value? Now, at this time, I'm going to ask you just to press 1. If you see the value in words of affirmation being one of the 5 universal love languages, and I've also said, you know, that Allah shows his love, and he shows his love in words of affirming who we are. Just think. If we didn't get that. Okay, I know somebody raised their hand. Press 1. And
we do. We have a few people raise their hand.
Okay. So let's open the mic. And if it's not your number one, we're not trying to get you to say that that's your number one love language. You got all 5. You got all 5 again. Once again, real quick, the five are words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, gift giving, and the 5th one is physical touch. But if what we said tonight, that's what the question is, because Quran and I, we want to interact with the audience tonight. Do you see the value in words of affirmation? Let's go, Quran. Let's see who we got, what they want to say.
All right. Let's start with 773-449. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Oh, it's just me, Amira. I got a shopping bag right here, and I'm putting in here everything that you all say. I'm not married right now, so some of the things you said in reference to what you would say is love language, but it's a tool to use. With intentions to get married, and even if you can't really focus on getting married no time soon, it's like what we're hearing here tonight and what we do here every week, it's like feeding a fuel to push you towards that direction. It's what you don't know that you don't know that if you did would make a difference. And I always say that because it's just so true. And I just so appreciate you all, the time you spent and, you know, giving from your heart these messages that go from the heart to the heart. And I just wanted to share that, you know.
Well,
it's just
so much
you're giving that could add to a good quality of life, a good quality of marriage, information for, like I said, one who intend to get married, and even if you hadn't, maybe you will now. So it's just good information. Thank you. May Allah continue to bless you.
Thank you.
Allah. Oh, Akbar.
Grant. No, I was just thanking her, and I was going to say to her, push one, but she did it. All right.
Oh, she did and went out. Okay. Who else we got in the queue there, Grant?
We got 704-307. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Your mic is open. State your name and where you're calling from.
Take yourself off of mute, 704. We can't hear you. You're live and on the air. Maybe they might have stepped away if they unmuted.
Okay, we'll come back to them.
Okay.
All right. 770-866. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Assalamualaikum.
Alaikum
assalam. This is Adila, Atlanta, and I am in full agreement, validating and confirming with affirmation to our spouse or our person that we're courting can add tremendously to that person's worth and value, and also can be so inspiring and encouraging. And so I think that particular love language is very valuable and very important in helping to cement and establish a really strong foundation, especially when your spouse has that love language as his or her primary love language.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. What's your name again?
Adila.
Adila. Oh, thank you so much, Adila. And, you know, Karhan, we really appreciate you, you know, calling in and conveying that message, what it is that you got out of it and how, like you say, it can cement your relationship, make it firm, a firm relationship. This is something that's inspirational. Words of affirmation are inspirational. Like you said, it's motivational. You want to motivate, you want to inspire. Remember the acronym THINK. You know, you want to say what is true. You want to say what is helpful. You want to say what's inspiring. And you want to say what's necessary. And you want to say it in a kind way. Those are the five things in the word THINK before you speak. But you want it to be true. So that's why words of affirmation, it can't be flattery. You see,
right.
Because there's a motive in terms of flattering a person. You're trying to get something from them. And in Al-Islam, it's a tool of the shaitan to flatter people. Why? Because you're being deceptive. You're not being honest. You're being dishonest. You're not being truthful. You're lying to them. But when we see, as Imam Muhammad say, recognizing the good that Allah has put in and recognizing those things. You know, Dr. Gary Chapman gave an excellent narrative in his book. You get that book, and Quran and I, we are endorsing that book, The Five Love Languages, when a woman came into his office. And she was complaining about her husband. She had been trying to get him to paint the master bedroom for over 2 months or so. I don't know exactly. I guess 2 months. We'll just say 2 months. But to no avail. And she was getting frustrated and irritated because he was sad, but he didn't do it. And so Dr. Gary Chapman, he listened to her complaint, and then once again you see this acronym I just gave, a desired internal experience that she wanted to have. in regards to getting her husband to do that. So he asked her, is it anything that he does well around the house that you don't have to ask him to do? So she began to think, the first thing she thought about, he takes out the trash without me telling him. He said, anything else? Yes. Well, when he washes and waxes his truck, he washes and waxes my car. He cleans the exterior, and he cleans the interior, and he does a fantastic job. Anything else? Yeah, well, he keeps a nice yard. I mean, he cuts the grass and mows, and he also trimmed the hedges and everything, beautiful yard and everything. So Dr. Gary Chapman said, when he, the next time he does that, make sure you compliment him and let him know how much you appreciate him and how well of a job that he has done. And then come back and see me in 3 months. She said, but Gary Chapman, I want him to get him to paint my bedroom. He said, I don't see how that's going to get him. He said, you came to me and you asked me. He says, so follow those instructions and come back and see me. Well, as it turned out, she came back before the 3 months, and she came back with a smile on her face, and she came back saying to Dr. Gary Chapman, it worked. It worked. Not only has he painted the bedroom, but he's painted the kitchen, and he's looking at painting the whole house. So just like Corinne shared the story that she gave earlier, words of affirmation does work. Now, you're absolutely right. It is motivational. It is inspirational, especially if that's that person's primary love language. We can have better marriages by utilizing these love languages because they're universal. Allah gave us these love languages. Allah has given it to us. We might not have recognized it, but he's also put it in us in the fitra, in the original nature. I could say more. I think I said enough. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Adila. We really appreciate you. And if you would, push one on your phone as you come out. And now we welcome 704-502. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name, where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Take yourself off of mute. Mm-hmm. Maybe they inadvertently pressed one, or maybe they pressed one and had to leave for a minute or so, I guess. Mm-hmm. If you don't have anything to say, if you hear us, just press one and go out. And therefore, we won't think that you have something to say. So maybe they may have inadvertently pressed one, Quran. We can always come back if they lit up there. At least we know that they started listening. So they may have had to go and take care of something, inshallah. Is that it, Quran?
That's it, except for the 704-307, who didn't speak a moment ago. I'm opening your mic once again to see if you have something to say before I take you out of the queue.
Okay.
All right, I didn't hear anything. All right. And I want to, and for those who have spoken, if you press 1 to come out of the queue, then that'll let me know you don't have any more to say. And if you do have something else to say, you can press 1.
Yeah, you can come back.
Because we've only done one, and I wanted to get to all of these today.
Yes, let's do that.
So we can understand them. And, you know, the next one you said was quality time. Quality time.
Yes.
And quality time, you know, some people may think, oh, that means that I've got to plan a special date with somebody, and we got to go somewhere expensive, and I got to dine them and tee them. I'm not going to say wine. We tee them and dine them with all these great things, or I take them to a show or something. It doesn't mean that. Quality time is just being available to them, not distracted by something else. And it is time with them. So to sit and have a conversation with them, to walk and hold their hand and listen to them, or to sit on the porch and rock, looking out at the people or whatever it is, or even when you go to the masjid together, that's quality time. And when you go, you're sitting together. You know, you spend time together. That's what quality time is. It's being available, being present for someone. And that, for some people, is the ultimate in love. And as Mark was sharing, acts of service, I'm sorry, words of affirmation is number one amongst men. And research shows quality time is big or number one amongst women. So a lot of women love quality time. And when we understand, they need connect. They need to be in your presence and you in their presence, present. Get it? In their presence, present. Cause, I was there with
I love it, Craig.
But, you were doing something else. Be present with them. Mm-hmm. That is quality time. And just as we said about words of affirmation, when you give them defaming words, then that makes them feel unloved. The same thing with quality time. If you are not available to them and you don't spend time with them, then they feel like you don't love them. And so you still have to do the same thing. And in fact, I read once that that can be one of the most, when they want to do something with you and you say no, that can be like slapping them. That can be like jabbing a knife in them, because it's so important to them. So to understand quality time, then we understand a lot of our women. In fact, when we did that initial acronym, we talked about how women communicate. One of the things we talked about is that there is a relatedness, there is a connection that women need to make. And this is very true in feeling loved, just spending quality time with someone.
Alhamdulillah, that's excellent, Karan. I love the way you connected that and went back to the platform in which how women actually communicate. And this is very, very important, you know, for men to understand the importance of quality time and to make time. You know, my grandmother used to always say, Karan, and to the radio listeners, she said, anything that is important to you, you have to find time for it. You know, you have to find a way or make a way that you have to have time for that because it's important to you. You know, and this is one commodity. It's probably the most valuable commodity. Some of you might think money. No, money is redeemable, but time is not redeemable. To think about that. And I want to say something real quickly in regards to the Quran, Surah Al-Asr. Surah Al-Asr, as Imam taught it, it actually, I see it from what Imam Muhammad gave to us as the victory surah. We know that Allah has said in Surah Al-Asr, in terms of the time, he says, by the gift, Quran was using the word present, by the gift or the present of a time through the ages, surely man or the human is at loss or he's the loser. We're the loser. Now here comes the five things. Except those who have iman, who have faith. That's the number one thing. And you might say, and we're going to tie this together in terms of time. So Allah is giving quality time to those human beings that have faith in him and faith in what it is that he has created. This is very important. You say, Shaheed, should we have faith in our mates? Yeah. We should have faith in our children. Allah created them, you see. He creates and then he reproduces what he creates. And then after that, we look at and the performance of righteous deeds. Very, very important. Your faith is predicated, how strong your faith is in terms of performing righteous deeds. They go together. And in joining in the mutual teaching of truth. And then finally, the last two qualities is patience, sabr, and constancy, being consistent with that. So Allah has given us quality time. You know, nothing else in creation, you know, that Allah is saying that those things in creation have to show faith. They don't have the capacity to show faith. We do see some animals, you understand, perform good deeds. And those are the animals that say that they have a family or a community. They have communities just like we form communities. But they can't join in the mutual teaching the truth. Very, very important. You know, Quran listed a lot of things that can constitute quality time. It doesn't cost a whole lot to actually do. Whereas that you can cherish and remember those times that you were with your mate, you see. And then that's passed on. That's passed on to the next generation. And all, just like I just got to speaking about what my grandmother said. But I also saw my grandfather never leave the house until he kissed and hugged my grandmother, his wife. I always cherish that, you see. So quality time can consist of some real basic things, not necessarily big things, but basic things that you share together, and that would be memorable. Maybe one day you may not have a spouse, but you could always say that you shared quality time. You may just be just sitting together, eating popcorn and watching a movie. That might be quality time.
Mm-hmm.
It may be having a discussion in the month of Ramadan after you read a juzah with your mate. And you're discussing what it is that you extrapolated and vice versa. Mm-hmm. That may be quality time. That could be quality time. That helps to grow and develop you and being able to enjoy in the mutual teaching of truth. You won't be able to teach truth unless you know it. And so we know in the month of Ramadan, we're fasting in the month of Ramadan, but we should be feasting on the Quran. What better way to do that than with your mate? I'm hoping that what I'm saying is resonating to you, what quality time could possibly be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And quality time requires that you have to be patient.
Yeah.
But you have also be consistent. You see, these five things will ensure that we don't waste time, or we're not lost, or we don't become the loser. Allah wants us to be victorious. He wants to be the winner. And you can't be the winner unless you are actually using time and not wasting time and prioritizing what is important to you. Your relationship should be first, your relationship with your Lord and Creator's foundation. But the two sacred institutions that Allah has established for us is a sacred institution of both marriage and family life. And that should be high on your list. I could say more, Quran. I said enough. I'm going to stop there. So we do want you to know that if you're just tuning in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and Mark Shaheed, and we're talking about the five universal love languages, and we just talked about two of them. Quality time, we're talking about quality time, words of affirmation, and if you have any comments. comments or questions that you'd like to ask. And let's do this real quickly. If that resonates with you, I know we got some sisters out there. The question is, we need you to participate now. Is this your primary love language quality time? Come on, sisters. Come on, brothers. I need you to press one right now if this is your number one love language. And if it's not your number one love language, if you understand the importance, come on, brother. If you're out there and you understand how important this is, and maybe you've been wasting time or ignoring the time that you could spend with your wife, if this is resonating, which I want you to press one. Okay, so I know we got some people in the queue. Fran, look at the studio. Somebody's out there on press one, I know.
Uh-oh. They had press one, and then that, when you said that, it came out. They just wanted to acknowledge that it's their love language.
Oh, okay.
They did not want
okay, that's fine.
Which is fine.
But if
that
that's your, but if they press one, whoever pressed one, please come back. If it's your primary love language, just say that's my primary love language. And if it's not your primary love language, if it resonated with you how important that is in helping to solidify your relationship, then please let us know in regards to that if you choose to do so. If not, Grant, we can keep on moving to access service.
Yes. Yes, alhamdulillah. And so the next one, acts of service. And I love this one because, you know, Allah often talks to us about serving and being of service to ourselves and others. And so I like this because there are people who feel loved when someone is being good to them, someone's attentive to them and doing things just for them. And again, when we talk about acts of service, I like to bring it on down so that we don't think, oh, my God, I got to go out here and get a limousine for them. And, you know, that's the service that I'm giving. I got to go bring in somebody to come in here and do this special act. No. What I'm saying to us is for acts of service, this kind of attention to someone could be that washing dishes with them. And not making it where they're the only one doing the work. Or you stepping in to say, I will call brother such and such for you, or I will hang up all your clothes for you, or I will clean your bathroom for you. All these are services that we can give to someone. I will come and pick you up. You don't have to drive. These are acts of service that you can give to someone, and they think, they really love me, because they're doing these things for me. And so this act of service, you know, running to the store or, you know, doing things for someone so that they don't have to do it, that's what an act of service is. And that is so valued by those who have acts of service as their primary love language. And we keep saying primary because I want you to know if you took that test, and you scored an 8 or a 9 or a high level on a particular thing and something else came in at a 7 or an 8 right behind it, then you can have a primary, but you can also have something that comes under that that may be just as strong for you, but we all have a primary love language. So if acts of service is your primary love language, then this is something that you are looking forward to someone being available to you doing something for you, and it does not have to be something expensive. And that's true for all of the love languages, because even when we get to gift giving, it doesn't have to be something that's done. It's just something that says, I was thinking about you, I care for you, I'm here for you. And I think that's the message for the act of service. I'm here for you.
Yes.
I'm a part.
Yes. Yeah, alhamdulillah. No, that's excellent, Karen, what you just gave. Because Allah created us to be ab, you know, a servant. You know, Abdullah, it is said that's one of the best names that you can have is a servant of Allah. you know, to put this in perspective, you know, Quran, is that we know that to be a servant of Allah, we know that Allah is the only one that is independent. We mean independent. That Allah is As-Samad. We say that in Ikhlas, Allah As-Samad, meaning Allah is the eternal, that he doesn't have a beginning, he doesn't have an end, he's absolute. He's independent of everything and everybody, but whom everything and everybody depends upon. So we're interdependent, which is very, very important. But it also says that Allah has put it in our nature, in the fitra, in the original nature of the human being, that of servanthood, to actually want to serve other people. We see it in our children early on, you know, Quran, in terms of wanting to help. Mommy, can I help? Can I help you cook? Daddy, can I help you paint? Can I help? It's in the very nature. We just have to look at it. And oftentimes with children, if you can find something for them to do so that they feel valued, that they're actually helping, you see. Acts of service, it's imbued in the very nature of the human being. So when we serve Allah, we are servant of Allah, then we will be serving other people. We'll be serving other people. And the closest to you will be your mate. And as Quran so eloquently articulated, it doesn't have to be anything lavish, expensive, you know. It can be basic things. You know, I'm still working on my book in terms of the true love recipe. The true love recipe has all organic and natural ingredients that I call qualities that make true love. And B2 is the basic things, not the big things, but they're the basic things that you can do. Brothers, mm-hmm. you know, if your wife is primarily the one that does most of the cooking and preparing the meals, then surprise her on a Saturday morning when you don't have to work by serving her breakfast in bed. You know that she loves melons. Make a melon melody with watermelon, honeydew. I'm talking about the honeydew fruit, not honeydew. Honeydew. And maybe some cantaloupe and maybe some grapes. You know what it is she like, or her favorite tea and all. And so that's not a big thing. You go out Friday night, make sure you have the fruit there, and you make a good selection, cut it up, wash it up and everything, put it in a nice bowl and everything, and serve it with her favorite tea or maybe her favorite juice. Or you know she likes a smoothie. You get the ninja and you make that smoothie for her. Pay attention in the relationship and see what it is that she likes. You see, acts of service. You see that big smile on her face when you wash the car and you wax it and everything and you clean out the interior. You know, see, so these are things that we have to pay attention in the true love recipe, the book. It is, you know, A3, which is attention. You have to pay attention to be able to do that in terms of acts of service. But it don't have to cost a lot. And it just takes some time, you understand, in thinking and remembering your mate and what it is that you can actually do for them. There's nothing that we can do for Allah as a servant and being a good servant, but being obedient to Allah. Because Allah is independent of everything. There's nothing that we do or we don't do that's going to diminish Allah. Allah is as he is. But he's put that in our nature. And to know that that's in our nature, not to want to just be served. This is why that in leaders today, if they would have the conscious, the right consciousness, be conscious and regardful of God's word in terms of servanthood. This is a quality of a leader, to want to serve people, to help people. The closest people to you, yourself, is your spouse and your family, your immediate family, your children, your extended family, and then becomes your close friends, your community members, your neighbors, you know. Allah speaks about all of this in terms of our treatment to them. And the Prophet Muhammad, who exemplifies the Quran, he actually gives us a lot of the best of you. The best of you is the one that's best to your wife. When you think about her in terms of acts of service, the best of you is the one that's best to your family. The best of you who is the most useful and beneficial to humanity, another best of you. The best of you is the one that learned and didn't teach the Quran, another best of you. And you could read the Quran to someone that may can not read, like myself, you see. So the best of you is many different things that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. And when you do that, that's an act of service. And also, dear believers, when you do that, those are barakats. Those are blessings. I asked the question, how many of you have too many barakats? So you should be looking for acts of service so that you can gain more barakats for performing acts of service. And nothing goes unnoticed. Allah says in the Quran that nothing goes unnoticed, because of how small it is, even if it's just as small as a mustard seed. If you ever saw a mustard seed, if you were to drop it off of your fingertip, it'd be difficult to find because it's just that small. But we eat mustard greens. So I think I said enough about that. You know, Quran, we could always say more. And we want you to know that if you just tuned in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and Mark Shaheed. And we are talking about the five universal love languages. And we got to ask you after each one now. Come on now. There's nothing wrong with saying what your love language is. I mean, we know we got listeners out there. We got listeners on the Internet. If you're on the Internet, you have to call into the studio to let us know what your primary love language. We got two more. Maybe we haven't got to it as of yet, but we want you to speak up and be engaging in this learning lab. This is your learning lab, and you can do that by dialing 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673, and press 1. So at this time, Quran, I think it's a good idea to ask a radio listening audience, is acts of service your primary love language? But even like Quran said, it could be more than one language, so you could be bilingual, just like in terms of vocally, you could be bilingual, and you can also be bilingual when it comes to love language. Please press 1. If this is your primary love language, even if it's not your primary love language, do you see how this is one of the universal love language? Because when we look at acts of service, Allah has given to us what the Prophet Muhammad has said, the aql. The aql being the human brain, oftentimes translated as the intellect. And that intellect is designed to service the human being. And we get to the next one, which is the gifts that Allah has given in the natural creation. Well, I could say a lot about that. But this is the service. And everything that Allah has given to us in terms of our biological structure is to serve us. to serve us well. So that means that we have to acknowledge that. We have to appreciate what it is Allah has given to us, and we have to always be conscious, regardful of God in terms of praising God and thanking God. This is why you hear the Muslims say so much, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. That means that all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, whatever it is that we're able to do. And we should also know and recognize when it comes to acts of service and how Allah has serviced us, and then we get the gift giving, you understand, we want to always ask the question that Allah asked us, which of your favors do you deny? Which of your gifts, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but which of your gifts do you deny? We don't deny any of those things. And Allah has shown us that He performs and have given to us acts of service, because everything that He has given to us, it has a design, it has a function, and it has a purpose, and it serves us. I'll stop there, Karan. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I really appreciate that. And I see that someone's pressed one. I'm going to come to you. 470-917. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Yes, this is Jamila Sek here. Assalamu alaikum, calling from Atlanta.
Alaikum assalam.
I'm calling to say that all of the love languages are my love language, including one that you did not say, which is food.
Which is what?
Food.
Did you say food?
That's a love language.
You're talking F-O-O-D, like food, you eat?
That's right. You heard it right.
Food. We're going to put food under gift.
No, it's a whole love language of its own. But
all by
yes,
itself.
I love, all by itself. I all love by itself. Active service is one of my favorite love languages. And it feels like there's something coming from that person, you know, and gifts are one of mine, but it just feels like more intimate and more personal when people make time and do service for me. So thank
do
you for your question.
Yes, thank you. You know, one of the things, Mark, that came to my mind when you were talking, especially about acts of service, is that there has to be a great amount of humility in a person to do something for someone else, not looking for anything in return except the pleasure of God. All you're looking for is the pleasure of God in that act of service that you're giving. And, you know, when we look at marriage and this gift that Allah has given us in marriage, we have to understand that Allah has given marriage a high status in
That's
our
right.
religion, because when two people who are from two completely different backgrounds, different lifestyles, and different habits come together under one roof attempting to live together, that is a major feat. That is a victory, as we talked about with the Surah Al-Asr. This is major to be able to do that. And it takes all of our attributes, all of our abilities to want to please Allah, so that we take all of the positive and all of the challenges that come with it, because we know we're being tested by Allah with these positive and challenges. I don't like to call them negative, but the positive and the challenges in this order to produce this one relationship, this one direction in here. You bring these two together. That's the synergy that we talked about last week.
Yes.
Bringing
yes.
these together and forming this one is a big thing. So to be able to take these love languages and set aside our own personal needs and our own personal wants and our own personal desires, and like what you said about God,
you know, for us to be able to take this concept of pleasing Allah and bring it into our own relationships, then here we are now being able to fast forward our relationships and bring them into a new reality. So we're going to go on to our next one because we have just a limited amount of time. We want to get to all of them.
Oh, yes.
Because next week we want you to be able to apply what you've learned. Remember I talked about scaffold. We're scaffolding the learning. So you're building upon this, and then you'll get to the assessment. Next week is the assessment. I'm taking y'all to a classroom right now. And so when you do this, this is what a good educator does. This is what good classrooms are, good learning spaces are. They are spaces where we share concepts and ideas, and we build on them, and we introduce them in different ways, and then we come back and assess to see, did we get it? Are we ready to apply it? Are we going to do better with how we apply it? So the next one is receiving gifts. And we've already said about all of them, none of them are designed to be a burden. And by burden, I mean, well, you got to go out and spend a lot of money on them. So for a gift is a token of appreciation. It's a token of affection. And it says, I was thinking about you, and this thing reminds me of you. I give this to you. It could be a pencil. It could be a pen. It could be a leaf off a tree. It could be, you think of it. What's the gift you're going to give? A poem that you wrote that you give to them. Those are all gifts that you can give to someone. I'll memorize this ayat because it made me think of you. Allow me to recite it to you. My gift to you.
Yes.
These are gifts, right? Alhamdulillah. I want to say, as a family right now, we're all dancing and celebrating because someone gifted my brother with a trip, an Umrah trip. And we're all like, wow.
Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar.
Yes, that may be their love language, to give a gift. It's like, whoa, wow.
That's a big gift. Amazed. That's a big gift.
I know. Yes.
That's not basic. That's a big gift.
That's not basic. You're right. But that's a wonderful gift to give.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, just giving gifts, thinking about someone and giving gifts. So gifts can have varied values. But the most important thing about a gift is that it says it's my token of appreciation, my token of affection for you. And that's an important thing for us to do as we validate one another and we show our love for someone.
You know, Karen, you said a mouthful there in terms of gift giving. And first I want to start once again with Allah, you know, in terms of gift giving. Imam Muhammad, in one of the master keys that he gave to us, he says that Allah created the whole universe for the human being's intellect, and he created the human intellect for the whole of the natural creation, this universe. Now, you may say, what does it got to do with gift giving? Well, Allah has created all that it is that we see and all that is that we don't see for us. This is a gift to his human creation. And we see that, as Imam Muhammad has said, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and he's translated that in terms of the Lord or the nourisher and sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. In this natural creation, the systems of knowledge, there have been much benefit that have come from this natural creation, you know, that man has studied, and it has been a mercy to the human being. As we've gotten natural antidotes and cures for illness and disease and all of these things that have come from Allah's natural creation, it's a gift. It has helped to advance the human society. It has even been a benefit to him to even establish human society based on the natural creation that what he saw in it in terms of peace, order, and beauty. Which of your favors will you deny, you know, in regards to just looking and studying Allah's creation and what human beings and man have done over a period of time, and it has benefited the human being? January 5th is a national holiday that's not recognized in terms of one of the greatest scientists that ever lived from our ethnic group, Dr. George Washington Carver. Mm-hmm. And what did he do? He got from the gift that Allah has given to us in the natural creation in terms of looking and studying the soil, in studying the peanut, in studying the sweet potato. Because before that, man was just eating the peanut. He was eating the sweet potato. But Dr. George Washington Carver saw much in that. And he said Allah spoke to him. No, he wasn't crazy, but he was a God-conscious man. Mm-hmm. Yes, and nature does speak to you. And those of us who conscious regard for God's natural creation speaking to them, they have more, as Quran said, appreciation for what Allah has given to us. Which of your favorites will you deny? We wouldn't deny any of them if we really understood them and their design, their function, and their purpose was to serve humanity, to serve the intellect of the human being, to advance us, to cause growth and development for us. And Imam Muhammad say, this is what Allah did for his human creation. We can never thank Allah enough for all this that he has given to us in terms of gifts. You see, and he's given us the gift of time. Question, what will we do with it? Will we serve time, or will we make time serve us? Will we be like those that are incarcerated, like El-Hajj Malik Shabazz, a.k.a. Malcolm X, where he may serve him or not? So we'll stop there, and we'll get to, I think, the last one that we have. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this is good. Hopefully you're enjoying this, and hopefully you're taking good notes. Back to you, Karen.
Yes, indeed. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for your wonderful comments, because I think what it does is it this drive, inshallah, to do better in what we do. And I just want to say what I'm enjoying is the, and I don't know about the rest of you, and you can chime in. I'm enjoying the male-female version of this, so our discussion. Like, I'm loving hearing from the male perspective what this means and how it shows up for you. All right? So the last one, and I'm getting to this, dear listeners, because I want us to be able to have all five under our belt. The last one, and I like that it's the last one, because I think when we think about love, this is what we think about. And that is physical touch.
Yes. With
physical touch, that is, that person likes to be touched. So they like to hold hands. Yeah. They like to kiss. So there's a kiss when I see you, or kiss when we depart. Kissing will be important to them. And even when we engage in lovemaking, all of that is physical touch. And so they may tend to want that more, because they like physical touch, but that is holding, hugging, embracing, all of that touch. But even when you're having a conversation, you put your hand on top of their hand or on their shoulder, or a pump on the forehead, all of that communicates love to them.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've also read about the five love language in relation to children and adults, and teenagers, one of the things that this particular love language is, it says, and I likened it also to the adults, is that if your child's love language is physical touch and you spank them, no matter how much you say, I'm doing this out of love for you, they will never, ever feel your love. if their love language is physical touch. So
right.
You cannot hit a child physically or abusively, or even if it's out of your own idea of love, you cannot do that to them and think they feel your love. You have to discipline them in a different way. And that I want to go back also to, since we're talking about children, also if a child's love language is words of affirmation, you can never ever say to them, have you lost your mind? You are a terrible person for doing this. They're not going to hear any of the love in that when you do that. So we have to be able to meet our children, our mates, everybody where they are with this idea of this love making, of this love languages. And so with physical touch for your mate, or your potential mate, and so I want to say this for the potential mate, in Islam, we're not supposed to touch someone that we're not married to if they're of the opposite sex. That's real. I had a student who once said to me, I want to get to the altar without never having touched them physically, because that's what we're taught. We don't touch them. That was the understanding. So if someone's love language is physical touch and you don't touch them even in the courtship process, then how do they understand your love? How do they get to that part of it? And that's a real question. I would love to hear some of your answers to that, because we always want to obey Allah and we want to be in good adab with Allah. So that's important. But now for someone who is their love language is physical touch, then we if we're not a touchy-feely kind of person, as some may say, then we have to go back to what I said earlier about that humility and go to that person and touch them as they need to be touched. If that is your wife, your husband, touch them as they need to be touched so that they can feel the love. And in that touching that is out of your nature, out of who you are, then now here is your blessing that's coming to you, because as we said earlier, you are bringing it together two backgrounds that are different, and you're helping the sisterhood to happen. You're helping it to come together and find its balance. And so
yes,
families come into being because of this one relationship, and we're praising Allah through these acts that we're doing, and that's what we have to see, is this is my way of glorifying Allah in honoring my mate, giving them what they need and what they want. This is my way of showing my glorification of Allah. And so we know that our marriages are going to go through some ups and downs, some valleys and some hills, and we're down for it. Because Allah says, be sure we will test you. And if we are ready for the test of Allah, then we trust Allah. And when we have that trust of Allah, we know he's going to bring us through it. And so we're not going to have 365 days of la, 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 la. We have to know that. Okay? Because that's paradise, the ultimate paradise. And we do want paradise here on earth. And we want our reality. So we're ready for the test that Allah has for us. We're willing to set aside our ego and do what's needed to be pleasing and loving, responding to the five love languages as a way of communicating to our mates. So I know I said a mouthful there, and I am eager to hear from our listening audience if any of this right here didn't fit well with you, or you got a question, or you got a remedy. Would love to hear it. Press 1 and let us go out in our last few minutes with some comments from you. You've heard from Brother Mark and I. We would love to hear from you. Press 1 and we will do the mic so we can hear from you.
Well, maybe it's a good time to do that little mini survey, you know, and just real quickly, want to say addendum to the physical touch, and you asked that question. First and foremost, in al-Islam, from an Islamic perspective, we want to touch the mate, the potential mate, from an intellectual base.
Mm-hmm.
First, intercourse is intellectual intercourse. Engagement starts when you begin to interact with that person intellectually. So you want to be in touch intellectually. You want to touch that person emotionally. You want to establish an emotional bond with that person. See, because as Quran has said many times that in the courtship is about fact-finding. You see, so when we look at marriage from an Islamic perspective, these vital components that comprise the human being, we're mm-hmm. more than just a physical being. We are a moral being. Are you in touch with that person morally? You have to ask yourself that question. Are you in touch with that person socially? You see, do you have the same likes and not so much in terms of difference? And really very, very, very important, put a lot of emphasis on this, in touch with them spiritually, because we are spiritual beings too. And so your soulmate, as Imam Muhammad has said to us, from every soul emanates a spirit. I mean, those two spirits are coming forward together, are in touch with each other. This is very, very important. And Allah has touched us. His words of revelation from the Quran, I've seen grown men and women cry from reading the Quran, how it has touched them. You see, so I know that Dr. Gary Chapman said physical touch, but not overlook the other vital components of the human being where you can be touched by your mate or your potential mate in that regard. Just had to say that. Now we're going to do this mini survey here, Quran. Now, I need everybody to participate, you all. You're not shy in regards to this. This is family and all. I want to know that if anything that was said tonight by Quran or myself in terms of these five love languages, if it touched you, when we use touch, if it resonated with you, if it touched you tonight in any way that was a benefit, you have more of an understanding of how these five universal love languages can be very beneficial in your marriage, or if you're seeking to be married, that you would want to be in touch with your primary love language and you would want to know your mate's primary love language, how it can solidify your relationship. If this resonated with you, I'm asking you, if you listen by way of the internet, dial in 714-816-4673. Press 1. Those who are already listening in, dialed into the studio, I need you to press 1. And we're going to hold it for 10 seconds. Just press 1. If this information has resonated with you and you found it to be beneficial, let's participate, dear audience. Press 1 and hold it to 10. I'm at 5. I'm at 10. Did we get any participation, Grant?
We did. We did.
Okay. Okay. So I need some of you or all of you to just express. You don't have to do it specifically what it is that resonated with you, but if it just was in general, Quran and I would like to hear from you and see if any of these things touched you tonight. So, Quran, let's go to the callers and see what they have on their mind. Quick, if you will, please.
All righty. We're going to go to 267-258. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name, where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, salam
alaykum.
But tell everybody else, that famous voice of yours, that we know who you are.
Alhamdulillah.
But the whole world needs to know who you are and where you calling from.
I'm calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. My name is Rahima Z. Abdullah, and I was just really enjoying the conversation. It helps me so much in my new marriage going into 2 years and learning his love language, you know, and I think his love, I'm learning, you know, listening to you and just, you know, observing him. And I'm like, his love language is me listening to him because he loves to talk. So, and whenever I don't listen, it just really upsets him. So I'm like, okay, now I'm really understanding that that's what he really loves, is that I listen to him. And and sort of, you know, because you know I'm a talker, you know, so I could out-talk him anytime, but he just, he loves when I just don't talk. It just, So, but listening to you and just learning more about what my love language is, you know, and it is service, you know, him serving me. And alhamdulillah, opening up, we've been married going on 2 years in March, but he opens up the door, car door. The store doors, restaurant doors, no doors do I touch. So, I really like that. And it is like a natural. It's a natural with them. So I really appreciate that. And just trying to get them in the kitchen more. That takes time.
I'm working on it. Grateful for what he does.
But I really appreciate you and Mark so much. And Tuesdays and Thursdays are really my best time to jump in and listen. I love all the radio programs with but I love Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's just wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
Yes, thank you, Rahima, for calling and sharing with us. Alhamdulillah. So she got to pay more attention to her husband's love languages. He's paying attention to her love, her primary love language, act of service. So alhamdulillah, that's good, because that solidifies your relationship when you're in touch with each other's love language. That means that love is personified in your relationship. Good to know.
I would recommend that he take the test, because I'm interested to know if his love language is quality time. So take the test and let's find out. I just want to hear that from you. And we're going to go now to 773-934. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Chicago number. Take yourself off of mute. It's Chicago. It's area code Chicago, 773-349.
That is me. Salam alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You like to say anything on these five love languages? Anything resonate?
I love them all. I'm finding out a lot about myself listening to your conversation. This is my first time. And this is my first time listening, and it is simply beautiful. Thank you, Sister Amira, for texting me the information. I will continue to listen. I'm learning a lot about myself. All of the love languages, that's me. All of them. There was one in particular, though, I think. I'm sorry. Did I say
that's okay. Don't be sorry. You're just being honest. You can never be sorry when you're being truthful and honest.
No, all of them.
I love you.
But the service one, that's me for sure. That's my job title. I'm a medical assistant. But I find by just touching and smiling and greeting people, you know, and giving to yourself that way, it helps a person as well. And it helps me to be able to do that to give to them as well. But I'm just excited. I'm learning a lot about myself. So thank you.
And
you're welcome.
I love it. I love it, Dr. Quran. I love when the believers express themselves. But then she found
a
primary love language. Yes.
I just wanted to know, is it every Tuesday and Thursday?
No, it's every Thursday here on IWDM Radio, Courtship and Marriage. And if you're in Chicagoland, it's 6 p.m. your time, Central Standard Time.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Yes.
No, I'm looking forward to getting married, but I not yet. I haven't found, well, no one has found me yet, so, but this is a big help.
At least you'll be undiscovered yourself and everything.
Yes. Yeah, let me go look in the mirror now. Thanks. All right, salam alaikum.
All right, good afternoon. Alaikum asalaam. Thank you for calling in.
All right. So, Mark, we are at the top of the hour.
Oh, okay. So that's it then. No more callers.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Karan, you want to close. I really enjoyed this class, this session tonight, and we do want to encourage our listeners to get that book, The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. And take that quiz that he got in, those questions and everything, and uncover and discover your primary love language. And as the sister said, because they're universal, so they are appealing, all of them are appealing to us. You know, as human beings, they're all appealing to us, but there is probably one that really stands out. If somebody said you had to have a choice, you got to pick one. Which one would it be? And if it was two, you could be bilingual. The sister just came off. She could be, what do you call it? If you're more than two, would it be multi? Lingual or what? I'm making up a word, you all, but we know multi means, more than two or more in the English language, unlike Arabic, where we have the singular, we have the dual, and then we have the plural. So if, in fact, that all of them are resonating with you, but you're able to uncover and discover just one, you know that if you had to pick or choose, that's your primary love language. And it's important for you to know it, but it's also important for your spouse to know it. So, Karan, what would you like to leave with the radio listening audience and everything? And you can let them know what we plan on doing next week and how important it is with these notes that they should be taking. They should have got a...
That's what I was going to say. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. So, most definitely, first of all, thank all of you for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio. We appreciate you and the time that you take, because this is 2 hours of fun learning that we do, and we thank you. And we know you could have been doing other things, but you chose us, and we are grateful, so we thank you. And we also pray that you benefited from our learning lab, and we ask you, if you did, to tell a friend and then stay connected with us. So next week, again, be right back here, but also stay connected with us on our social media. So go ahead and go to Facebook. If you're a Facebook person, we are Bring It to the Lab. Go to Instagram. If you're an Instagram person, we are Bring It to the Lab. And if you have any questions or ideas for us or anything you want just to communicate privately through email, you can do that at bringittothelab@gmail.com. And it has truly been a pleasure to be with you this week. And we look forward to serving you again next week. Back to you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah, and that is the praise and thanks belong to Allah first and foremost. And we want to thank our radio listening audience always, because without you we can't have an IWDM radio, and we could not have these type of venues that we have, such as the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Special thanks goes to Karan Shakir, as always, each and every Thursday. She shares her insight and wisdom that Allah has blessed her with for many, many years. Used to write in the Muslim Journal as a columnist in terms of relationships. Now, you know, I have the honor and privilege of having her partner with me here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and I value that. These are words of affirmation to let her know how much I appreciate her here on the IWDM platform. Want to say to you, the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio. It's tomorrow's Lata Jumai Day. Come back tomorrow if you're immobilized, can't get out and about, with email Mikhail Sayer. It's at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. the longest running production, Words Make People. We're talking about Words Make People. You can tune in each and every Sunday afternoon here with Imam Mikhail Sayer. And that starts at 1 p.m. Eastern is high noon Central, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, Words Make People with Imam Mikhail Sayer. The beginning of the week is the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam as the host and his off-returning co-host, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. You really have to bring your pen and pad and take down the different terminology that they'll be given in that learning lab. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, it's 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. The sister learning lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished, esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, joining yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And that learning lab begins each and every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And it's followed by the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where I like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community, the community Imam W.D. Muhammad, outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And next week is going to be a special, special, special on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We're going to take time to acknowledge one of the greatest scientists that the world has ever known, and that's Dr. George Washington Carver, and what our children should know about Dr. George Washington Carver. That's going to be in the first hour. The walking encyclopedia in terms of George Washington Carver is my good brother and friend, Rashid Salam. You don't want to miss that. That's going to be a special there. And we're looking at having a special on the MGM Roundtable, which I'm going to be inviting some of the outstanding intellects. That includes Karan Shakir, so beware, Karan. Get ready as the temptations come, because here I come. I'm going to be asking you on the new theme that we're going to be utilizing here on IWDM Radio. That is Set Yourself Free in 2023 by Thinking with the Quran. I'm going to be engaging these intellects in this community. Why should we have a theme with a central idea and focus in terms of setting yourself free by thinking with the Quran? Should be interesting commentary next week on the MGM Roundtable, so we ask that you tune in for that. And that begins at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio, which it brings us back to the night. You just heard it live here with the very distinguished, esteemed host, Karan Shakir, joining yours truly, Mark Shaheed, on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And remember, next week, now, this is not for entertainment only. This is part of your test. All these notes, all the information you got for the last 3 weeks, this is an open book test. Right, Karan? It's an open book test.
Okay.
Bring your notes with you. So you're going to see what kind of acting skills that Karan and I have, because we're going to portray communications the wrong way, and then we're going to portray communications the right way, and you all are going to be the critics. You're going to have to tell us what it is that we did wrong, and you're going to have to tell us what it is that we did right. So you're equipped with the tools, and so we do ask for your participation. It should be fun, but it's also, inshallah, will be informational and also educational. And so don't forget the Muslim Journal. Be sure you keep your subscription up. And maybe if you can't afford to get a subscription for a family member, a friend, associate, a neighbor, or maybe a pioneer or your local library, let's please do that. So we want to say, as we close out this year, 2022, let's set ourselves free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours, and may Allah bless you with a peaceful, a happy, and a productive new year. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.